Government is the problem.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order. Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Completely different? Wow, I turned the mics way up there. I didn't mean to. During the previous half hour intro interlude of music, I was treated to a short rendition of The Time Warp being done by Stacy and Debbie behind us, and I turned the mics up so you guys could hear, and I had to turn them way up so you could hear because they were like behind us, so I had to adjust the mics here. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you on, what is today? Today's February the 17th, February 17th, 2011. It is a Thursday. And we're coming to you live. Now, normally we have a live second hour of Practical Christianity with Pastor Warren Mark Campbell, but he's down judging a school district speech competition on illegal immigration. So that's kind of interesting because, you know, we're involved with homeschool. They still reach out to us. So he won't be here. So instead we're going to be playing a sermon on preparing for holy war, Christian holy war. Crusade, which means the war of the cross, by the way, in case you're wondering. Crusade, crusade, Mark Dalis, you know. It's just a crucifix and S-A-D-E together. I looked it up. War of the cross. So that's what the sermon's going to be on in the second half hour. It's only about, how long is it?
41.
41 minutes long, so I'll do some filler when we first come up, and then we'll have to play it as soon as we can to make sure we get it all out. But that's what we're going to do here. I am Dutch Jones. I am coming to you from a snowy, well, not here, but I can see the snow again. We just got some storms yesterday. That's why we weren't up. Cahuilla, California, and here in Central California. And it snowed hard yesterday and rained hard here. And it's interesting weather. We were supposed to get nonstop rain, but it's intermittent with blue sky. But we think it was the storm yesterday that knocked us off, but I was... when I checked online, there were several solar flares yesterday, too. And that messes up satellite communications. And for those of you that don't know, we are uplinking through a satellite to the Internet. That's why it's so expensive for us to stay in there, because there is no Internet available where we're at. And the phone lines are so terrible, you can't even do Internet over the telephone lines. So it's our only option. So the sun burped yesterday. And the sky rained down, and it was cloudy and windy and nasty, so that's why we couldn't do a show. Kind of reminds you of just how frivolous we little human beings can be at times, isn't it? When in the big scheme of things, when the earth decides to do what it's going to do, when God decides to do what he's going to do, we're just small little players on the chessboard, little pieces, aren't we? But this is supposed to be really good northern lights tonight. Those of you that live where you can see it, we're in a bowl. We'd have to climb the high mountains behind us to see them, if at all, from this far south. But when I was in Colorado, we could see them on exceptional solar flare bursts. So make sure you look out for that. In the news, I actually got three or four phone calls today from listeners telling me that Glenn Beck did the same show we did Tuesday night with... with Steve Klein, and that he went ahead and did that show today on his show. So it's kind of funny. So maybe one of his interns is listening or something. And there are more and more people out there. And then I heard that Dr. Dobson is actually talking about the Islamic threat in a different angle than most people are, talking about how they are, in fact, trying to take over and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to finding that and listening to that. Moreland says he can see the Northern Lights from Chico. Good. Interesting. Yeah, you're much farther north than we are here, and we've got a huge mountain range in front of us facing north. Actually, we're surrounded. A little tiny gap to the south where I might be able to see out south, but since we're in a valley, we're in a bowl. This is one of those weird shows when, you know, I've been doing the reading today and took care of some stuff, and I had a whole bunch I wanted to talk about, but once I get on the air, I feel kind of moved. Can somebody get me a Bible? Got to be one in here somewhere. I don't know where ours are. There's like hundreds of them right over there. Somebody. Last night, we went to Bible study. Thank you. This is... Oh, it is King James. Okay. Look up the psalm that... I think it's Psalm 18. We did Bible study last night, and we talked about how education is terrible in America, and public education has destroyed our nation, and how from the 1920s, the entire communist overtake of our education system has been made complete now. And it's funny because we had two educators in there. It was pretty funny. And you could tell one of them was grinding his teeth and everything. He didn't like hearing it. But then afterwards, we found out that Savage from Savage Nation, I think it's Psalm 18 starting in verse like 38. Can you find it for me? And he said that this guy from Savage Nation, who's another radio show host that I've heard maybe once or twice, a Jewish guy, had read this on the air. And he had it on his iPhone and he played it for us. And I'm very familiar with the psalm, but I was surprised that a guy... who is, of course, my eyes, I have trouble reading it, a guy who is Jewish on commercial radio would risk something like this, but he did it. And the whole thing, you know, it's a warrior psalm. Okay, where does it start, Lee? I see 16. No, I see the whole psalm. It starts on the other page. Okay, Psalm 18. Okay, so this is a song of David. It was written at a time when the Lord had delivered him from his many enemies, including Saul. If you know that story, Saul, who was his adopted father, was angry with him and jealous of him all at the same time and was trying to destroy him. And many times David had the opportunity to kill Saul, and he didn't, because Saul was a godly man. And I just love these lines in here. And I'll go back to... Let's see here. Let's go back to verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those who trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and my gentleness, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise, they are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle, thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, and I might destroy them that hate me. They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt of the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen, and a people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their close places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I love the song that takes from that. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praise unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Now, of course, King David, we know, is a victorious, great, you know, king, but a flawed man as well, a sinner, an adulterer, a murderer. And who among us is any better or worse than he? But see how he gives thanks to the Lord for his victories. He understands that his battle starts, begins, endures, and ends with the Lord, first and foremost. And look at the things God did for him. God flattened his enemies, allowed him to be like a hind's feet, giving him like mountain goat feet so that he could take the high places in battle. A very militant song that was written there by King David. And yet today, most Christians I talk to, and I continue to have these discussions, think that I'm being abhorrent or unchristian for the way that I speak and act. And that when I train my children to fight, and all that will come and hear me to fight, that I'm doing a disservice to Jesus Christ. Now, we all know that Jesus was not a wimp, a sissy, or a chickified man. You and I know that. The world doesn't know it. They believe the Jesus Christ of the movies. They believe the Jesus Christ used in the packaging of the corporate churches. But rather than focus on where they're wrong, I'm going to focus a little bit on where we are right today. Those of us that have made this choice to serve the holy cause of liberty. And what we can do to further that and to push it even deeper and build a more solid base in that. And that's just one part of the Bible that came to mind because I heard that the guy from, I can't remember his name, Savage. What's his real first name? Rick Savage, Doc Savage, Randy Savage, Michael Savage. Thank you, Lou. Make sure you speak into your mic. And yeah, I mean, if he can do it, how much more should we be doing it in our lives? And letting people know that we serve an awesome God, and He rewards us by crushing our enemy before us, by using us to crush His enemies. This whole thing with Islam, tries to excuse it away, saying that, well, the New World Order is just using them. Well, I hear that about everything. Everybody has their pet villain. Everybody has their pet cause, and that's good because I'm a generalist, so I make a lot of mistakes because I generalize a lot. So it's good. We need experts in some of these things. That's why we have guys like Steve, even though he doesn't want to be called an expert in Islam. But it doesn't matter who our enemy is. China's doing some pretty scary stuff. You guys heard about the aircraft carrier missile that they've developed, that they claim to have developed? We'll see them. Hopefully the first time they test it won't be on the George Washington or something. But they have a new missile technology that was probably given to them by the Clintons and perfected over these last few decades that they can hit moving targets at sea now with land-based missiles. And they can take out entire aircraft carriers with one missile. So China's a threat. They are definitely our enemy. So we must prepare to fight that type of onslaught. But our enemies are also, like I talked about in the beginning, as somebody said, the pubic fool system, the public school system, the cesspool system, as Warren Lee used to call it. We have to fight that kind of thing, too. So our battle is not always with swords, spears, M16s, and grenades. It's also a battle of ideas and philosophies, which means our weapons will be what? Words, our conduct. The way we carry ourselves. I'm recently going through and getting rid of all contacts I have with any of my old friends that have grown into these perverse little cults that they're in. And I'm getting a lot of flack from the people that I'm not cutting off ties with. They're saying things like, well, you're a Christian. You're supposed to reach out to them. I said, what do you think I've been doing for the last 3 years? And they reject it. In fact, some of them even mocked me being a Christian. People who haven't seen me in the last 20 years. People from when I was a kid. But now I'm, here I am. I'm 1992, so that's, you guys do the math. It's when I became a Christian in 92. So it's 15 years or so or plus. anyway, it doesn't matter. But people who even knew me during the transition are like, well, you were okay when you were just like a, you know. I've always been militant, which is funny because I've always been in the militia even before I was a Christian. I've always been somewhat agitated at the way things are going in the world, let's put it that way. I just find it funny now that I'm working for a righteous boss that they get uncomfortable around me and they don't like it. So we have to show those people not only are we right, but they're wrong. A lot of people don't like that. Like, oh, that doesn't sound very Christian. I've got people that listen to this show that claim to be Wiccans, atheists, Nazis, and I just started sending little messages to them saying, you know what, I really don't want you listening. I don't want you posting on my Facebook. I don't want you sending me email. I don't want to associate with you. And then I got a really good Christian friend of mine who's almost as militant as I am. She was in the Navy. I was a teenager and knew her. And she was said, well, why are you deleting certain people? And she was sincere in it. You know, you should be. I said, I've tried to reach out to them. Even Jesus said, if a town rejects you, wipe the dust of that town off your feet and move on. If I don't see fruit from the relationship I'm having with them, and it just turns into an argument and a mocking retaliation by them, then it's a waste of time, and I don't want to burden myself with them. And I sure as heck don't want my kids seeing those kind of people posting on my page or sending me emails or talking to me. So we battle against everything, every day. If you're a true Christian warrior, you're in battle every day. You're in battle against the morals of those that live next door to us that would affect you and change you and brainwash your kids. You're in battle against the government that is unchristian and is allowing children to be murdered every day. You're in battle against corporations that want to poison your food and your water and your air. You're in battle against false doctrines in your own church that you attend. We should be in constant battle against the enemies of God and Jesus Christ, period. It should be a full-orbed warfare. And we can't give up in one area just because we're tired, but you can focus your battle. Just like with me, I'm just limiting the number of people I contact with the Word now. And if you've listened to this show for the past 4 years, you've seen me narrowing it in increments. And now I think I'm getting to the point where I only want to talk to people that are coming to my wall, looking over and saying, hey, I like what you have in there. The fence sitters. You know, we need sheepdogs. I haven't said that enough lately. We need sheepdogs. But sometimes to go out and get a sheepdog, he's going to surround himself with a bunch of mutts that need to be dealt with. Especially if you're doing this in your workplace or your home or, you know, your own family even. You know, when you're like having Thanksgiving and you know, hey, I heard you belong to one of them there militias there, Junior. What's that all about? You've got to give a good testimony. Just as well as if you're walking out in the mall with your family and somebody tries to steal your wife's purse, you have to be able to stop that person and do them serious bodily harm so that they don't do it to anybody else and detain them. That's a testimony too. The way in which you defend your family is a testimony. The way in which you defend your faith is definitely a testimony. The way in which you defend the doctrines that you enjoy, that you know give you freedom, that's a testimony. And by being silent and by sitting on your hands and by not preparing, that's a testimony too, isn't it? That's not saying, oh, I have total faith in God, He's going to provide, I don't have to do anything. No. That's a pretty empty-headed testimony. Pretty empty-headed testimony. And what I'm trying to do here, the whole Glenn Beck's one of our guests.
I don't know. I said maybe.
Oh, he probably has his interns listening.
What?
There's about a 2 to 3 day lag when we talk about it here, then Glenn Beck talks about it.
Oh, you never know.
Yeah. So. He packages it better. I give him that. He cries. I don't think I've ever cried on the air. Have I ever cried on the air, Lou?
No.
Probably.
But not since you've been around. If I cry, it's usually because you're messing something up. But yeah, so. And that's the difference. And a bunch of little old ladies last night were saying, how come you don't like Glenn Beck? We think he's magnificent. I said, well, a couple of things. One, he works for Fox. And he, before that, he used to poo-poo all this stuff that he's now waving the flag at. Now, people do come awake. Number two, I don't like the fact that he's a Mormon.
Yeah.
and I have some really good Mormon friends, but they know the Lord. They don't. And when I talk to them, they understand who Jesus Christ is and that kind of stuff. And I'm waiting for the day when the Mormon Church realizes, you know, he's pretty powerful, Glenn Beck, and he probably makes a lot of money, that they start using him for Mormon doctrine stuff. Because the Mormon friends I have, we find the common ground. We don't discuss the differences. We discuss the commonalities and just pray that when the time comes that we can stand shoulder to shoulder. But those two things bug me, the corporate connections and the Mormon Church connections that Beck has. And so far, I don't see the Mormon stuff coming through. You don't see him doing a lot of stuff about John Smith or anything like that. But when he came along first, he hated everything that we stand for, people like you and I. He didn't want anything to do with it. He made fun of us. He mocked us. And then all of a sudden, he's doing it. You know, he's great. And he's loud. And he's in your face about it. To a point. He won't talk about revolution. He won't talk about the angry mob. He talks about the enemy's angry mob, but he won't talk about our angry mob. He, just like the truncated gospel that we talk about here, he gives a truncated holy cause of liberty. So that's all I'm going to say about Glenn Beck. And then the rest, I could find fault with just about anybody. And if I sat and listened to all my stuff, I could find fault with everything I say too. Well, not everything, but a big chunk of it. But that's the point about the Glenn Beck joke. There. So I think that we could give a better testimony to the holy cause of liberty than what anybody on TV is doing that I've seen. I'm just flat out saying it. Everything they're doing, they have to do it to please sponsors. And I mean, maybe that's the luxury of us being poor, and it's a benefit to us not having enough money to keep the lights on or keep the internet going. I mean, we're still $50 short on the internet bill. I don't even know why it's still on. You know, so pretty soon they're going to say, hey, you didn't pay us because we don't have enough, and then we'll just disappear. We won't even be able to get to the internet to tell you why we disappeared. But there's a benefit to not having sponsors so they can't control us. That's why I like keeping it listener-based. I've had opportunities for sponsors, and the more I talked to them, the more I thought, no, that's not good because they want me to talk about specific things. And I'm not going to do that because I want to present the holy cause of liberty, not the holy corporate cause of liberty. So that's why we're very dependent upon the listeners' donations. And so just so you know, I'll never... it's funny, the Bible...